Hey y'all, listen, I had to come on and give you a bonus episode. I am really on an amazing journey in a community that I created called Unapologetically Unashamed. That has really been my campaign since the beginning of the year of what it really is to be unapologetically you. And so this community that I created, Unapologetically Unashamed, is a free community where I just create different activities. So the current activity that we are on is a 40-day spiritual journey to find purpose. This is by Rick Warren, who is an amazing pastor out of Southern California. And so I wanted to read a chapter out of his book that just really hit me to my core as I was delivering it to the community. So I hope that you enjoy this bonus episode. Let's get to the show. Hey. Hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh. Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game. I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save. Hey y'all, I am super excited for this bonus episode titled Seeing Life from God's View. This is an excerpt out of Rick Warren's book called What on Earth Am I Here For? We're currently doing, like I said, this 40-day journey. And listen, sign up for the community. It's completely free and I'm doing all the work for you. All you got to do is listen and do a little bit of reading and maybe some studying to dive deeper. But the work is pretty much done for you every day. So I encourage you, click the link. Even from last episode, I put the link to the community. So all you have to do is look in the show notes and click the link and boom, you're in. I give you access and you have access to everything. Hey, we're only 5 days in, so that's not that much catching up to do. You can do that overnight. So let's jump into the chapter. The way you see your life shapes your life. How you define life determines your destiny. Your perspective will influence how you invest your time, spend your money, use your talents, and value your relationships. One of the best ways to understand other people is to ask them, "How do you see your life?" You will discover that there are many different answers to that question, as there are people. I've been told life is a circus, a minefield, a roller coaster, a puzzle, a symphony, a journey, and a dance. People have said life is a carousel. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. How many can relate to that, right? And sometimes you're just round and round, right? Like, get me off the hamster wheel already. Sorry, I'm interjecting my pieces there. Or life is like a 10-speed bicycle with gears you never use. Or life is like a game of cards. You have to play the hand you are dealt. If I ask how you picture life, what image would come to your mind? The image is your life's metaphor. It's the view of life that you have and that you hold dear, whether that's consciously or unconsciously in your mind. It's your description of how life works and what you expect from it. People often express their life metaphors through clothes, jewelry, cars, hairstyles, bumper stickers, and even tattoos. Your unspoken life metaphor influences your life more than you realize. It determines your expectations, your values, your relationships, your goals, and your priorities. For instance, if you think life is a party, your primary value in life will be to have fun. Yeah, tell me about it. That's this generation. If you see life as a race, you will value speed and will probably be in a hurry much of the time. If you view life as a marathon, you will value endurance.
If you see life as a battle or a game, whining will be your very important, winning will be very important to you. What is your life's view? You may be basing your life on a faculty, you may be viewing your life on a faulty metaphor. To fulfill the purposes of God made for you, you will have to challenge conventional wisdom and replace it with biblical metaphors of life. The Bible says, "Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by the complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the perfect will of God." The Bible offers three metaphors that teach us God's view of life. Life is a test, life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. These ideas are foundations of purpose that drive our life. We will look at the first two in this chapter and the third one in the next chapter. So guess what? That means you get another bonus episode, y'all, for the next chapter so that we can finish it off with the third key point that he listed as, or is titled, Life is a Temporary Assignment. So let's jump into the first one. The first one is titled, Life on Earth is a Test. This life metaphor is seen in stories throughout the Bible. God continually tests people's character, faith, obedience, love, integrity, and loyalty. Words like trials, temptations, refining, and trusting and testing occur more than 200 times in the Bible. God tested Abraham by asking him to offer his son Isaac. God tested Jacob when he had to work extra years to earn Rachel as his wife. Adam and Eve failed their test in the Garden of Eden, and David failed his test from God on several occasions. But the Bible also gives examples of many people who passed a great deal of tests, such as Joseph, Ruth, Esther, and Daniel. Character is both developed and revealed by tests, and all of life is a test. You are always being tested. God constantly watches your response to people, problems, success, conflict, illness, disappointment, and even the weather. He even watches the simplest actions, such as when you open a door for others, when you pick up a piece of trash, or when you're polite toward a clerk or waitress. You don't know all the tests God will give you, but we can predict some of them based on the Bible. You will be tested by major changes, delayed promises, impossible problems, unanswered prayers, undeserved criticism, and even senseless tragedies. In my own life, I have noticed that God tests my faith through problems, tests my hope by how I handle possessions, and tests my love through people. A very important test is how you act when you can't feel God's presence in your life. Sometimes God intentionally draws back and we don't sense his closeness. A king named Hezekiah experienced this very test. The Bible says God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Hezekiah had enjoyed a close fellowship with God, but at a critical point in his life, God left him alone to test his character, to reveal a weakness, and to prepare him for more responsibility. Now, let me just stop there, because I've already passed up a lot of good stuff that I could have elaborated on. But let me just say this. Now, Hezekiah was given like 15 more years on his life when God was going to take his life because his time was up. All of us have an expiration date. And so what we do in that time can make the difference between more time or less, or to a greater eternity. And so when we look at the story of Hezekiah, when the prophet told him, you're going to die, like your time is up, not vindictively, not like you're going to die, but you've lived your life, like you've done the things that God has told you to do. And so now it's time to go on to glory. But Hezekiah turned to the wall and cried out to God. And God gave him 15 extra years on earth because Hezekiah reminded God of how much he poured and how obedient he was and how he strided to do the things that God told him to do. God honored that and gave him more time. That's a powerful story, y'all. But let's look at this, because it says here that God withdrew from Hezekiah for three reasons. In order to test him, to see what was really in his heart. That's good. He drew back to see what was truly in his heart. The Bible tells us that our heart is exceedingly deceitful. And we read in the Bible how David says, give me wisdom to the deepest parts of my heart. Help me to know divinely what's in my heart. Bring those things to the surface and then help me to work through those things. Because I don't want to be deceived by my own heart, by my own desires, by my foolish wishes. Give me wisdom of these things. Shine a light to the darkest parts of my heart. God also drew back from Hezekiah to test his character. How are we going to grow if we're not tested? How are we going to mature if we're not tested? It's in the testing that draws us closer to God. We press in more when we need God. We press in more when we're facing adversity and challenges. And God wouldn't have it in his heart that we would have to go through things to press into him. But it's the reality. We have choice, and we haven't had a good track record of how we do with our choices. So even here, God has to use adversity to test us. We see with Hezekiah, he wanted to make his character better. He also withdrew to reveal weaknesses in Hezekiah. There's weaknesses that we will never know unless God draws back. Because if God doesn't draw back, he becomes a crutch to us. It's just like raising a child. If you do everything for that child is going to be so dependent on you that they're not going to be able to survive on their own when the time comes. They're not going to leave and fly the coop. I've had uncles who depended on my grandmother for years because she did everything. And when it was time for them to be an adult and be responsible, they just weren't until they didn't have that option anymore. And even then, life was definitely a mess for them. So understand that when God draws back from you, it's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he's punishing you, but he's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to get you to be self-efficient, not self-reliant, but self-efficient, prioritizing your day, managing your resources, honoring and respecting the things that God has given you. Being a good steward over all that God has given you, including your life and your health. So he wanted to reveal a weakness. And then it tells us that he drew back to prepare Hezekiah for more responsibility. Y'all, this is good. I don't know about you, but I'd love to hear your comments if this surprise episode is good to you. Listen, when God draws back, in an effort to give us more responsibility, that is such a blessing. I hope that you will begin to look at the times that you go through where you feel like God is far, you don't hear the prayers answered, and you realize that it's a test from the Father. So if you just press in a little bit more, that he's going to be right there to catch you, that he's going to be right there to support you, that he's going to be right there to show you the way. When you understand that life is a test, you realize that nothing is insignificant in your life. Even the smallest incidents have significance for your character's development. Every day is an important day, and every second is a growth opportunity to deepen your character, to demonstrate love, or to depend on God. Some tests seem overwhelming, while others you don't even notice, but all of them have eternal implications. The good news is that God wants you to pass the test of life. So he never allows the test of your life to be the greater than the grace he gives you to handle them. Come on now. Your test will never be greater than the grace that he's already put on your life to pass every test, to go through every circumstance and situations. The word of God says that even the bad things, that even the things out of our mistakes, that even the things out of our downfalls, that he will turn those things around for our good, for those who love him. So he's promising us even here, this is for somebody. This is for somebody who listens to this podcast. You're going through something. You've had much adversity and the pandemic has not helped the situation. And you're really wondering, what are you doing, God? Where are you, God? Why is this happening? One thing after the other, after the other, after the other. I can't breathe. I'm trying to catch up, but I'm continuously behind the eight ball. I'm in quicksand and I'm sinking. Like, where are you, God? God is saying right here, he's promising you right here, and he cannot lie on his word. He said he cannot lie. He doesn't know what it is. He says that whatever he sets out as far as his word into your life, that it will complete what he sent it out to do, that he watches the activity of his word, y'all. So he's promising you through this podcast episode that he never allows and he will never allow your tests that you face to be greater than the grace he's given you to handle them. Seek him for the grace, not to get out of the problem, not to make the problem disappear, not to move the mountain, but give me the grace to climb the mountain so that when I get to the top, I can see that it was worth the climb. I can see the view for what's ahead of me. Don't move the mountain. Because I'll never learn, I'll never grow, I'll never increase my maturity, I'll never go deeper in you, I'll never know another level of you, and I'll never learn true appreciation and humbleness if you just move the mountain. But grace me, show me the grace that you've given me to climb over these mountains that I'm experiencing in my life. And align my emotions to know that you will give me the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father. Align my emotions with the will that you have for my life, even when it seems difficult. The Bible says God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. And at the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it. And so provide you with a way out. Come on. If this ain't a promise for somebody, listen. Mic check 1, 2, 1, 2. I'm going to need you to listen to this because this is good, good. This is just the first point. Every time you pass a test, God notices and makes plans to reward you in eternity. James says, blessed are those who endure when they are tested. When they pass the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, let me make it really clear. Now, while you are storing up treasures in heaven, and as you pass these tests and God blesses and puts another jewel in your crown, you better believe that just as you're receiving something in eternity, God will manifest things in the earth. You will begin to see doors open. You will begin to see favor from people. You will begin to see a change in your finances, in your life circumstances, in your home environment, favor on your job, favor in situations, favor in court cases. God will manifest the blessings that he's promised you. It's not that you're going to have to wait to get to heaven, but as you begin to pass these tests, you're going to begin to see God manifest the very things that you need and that you ask from him, the very things that are promised to you from him for the will that is over your life. The second point is life on earth is a trust. This is the second biblical metaphor of life. Our time on earth and our energy, intelligence, opportunities, relationships, and resources are all gifts from God that has been entrusted to our care and management. Come on, this is stewardship 101. We are stewards of whatever God gives us. This concept of stewardship begins with recognition that God is the owner of everything and everyone on earth. The Bible says the world and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. The earth and all who live in it are his. When we never really own anything during our brief stay on earth, we will never, ever truly own anything. And whatever that we own will perish. I promise you that. God just loans the earth to us while we're here. It was God's property before we arrived, and God will loan it to someone else after we die. You just get to enjoy
what you have while you are here. That's so good. Enjoy what you have while you are here, even if it isn't ideal. To God be the glory. Believe him for the more. Believe him for the more. He wants to give you the more. When God created Adam and Eve, he trusted the care of his creation to them and appointed them trustees over his property. The Bible says God blessed them and said, have many children so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge. The first job that God gave humans was to manage and take care of God's stuff on earth. This role has never been rescinded. It is a part of our purpose today. Everything we enjoy is to be treated as a trust that God has placed in our hands. The Bible says, what do you do and what do you do with what I've given you? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why boast as though you have accomplished something on your own? He goes on to tell a story about years ago, his wife and himself were allowed to use a home in Hawaii. And he says, while on vacation, it was an experience we could never have afforded, and we enjoyed it immensely. We were told to use the home and all that's in it as if it was ours. We so did. We swam in the pool, ate the food in the refrigerator, used the bath towels and dishes, and even jumped on the beds for fun. But we knew all along that it wasn't really ours. So we took special care of everything that we enjoyed the benefits of using the home without owning it. Our culture says if you don't own it, you won't take care of it. But Christians live by a higher standard. Because God owns it, I must take the best care of it that I can. The Bible says those who are trusted with something valuable must show that they are worthy of that trust. Jesus often referred to life as a trust and told many stories to illustrate this responsibility towards God. In the story of the talents, a businessman entrusted his wealth to the care of his servants while he was away. When he returns, he evaluated each servant's responsibilities and rewarded them accordingly. The owner says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Come on, whoever's listening to this today and you really are needing something from God, he's so speaking to you. I really feel in my spirit that someone is listening to this and they really are going to get confirmation from this. And this is going to increase your faith in the Father, because he wants you to know that you are going to be rewarded for all that you have endured thus far in his name. And at the end of your life on earth, you will be evaluated and rewarded according to how well you handle what God entrusted to you. That means everything you do, even simple day-to-day activities. Everything that you do, even simple day-to-day activities, chores, have eternal implications. If you treat everything as a trust, God promises three rewards in eternity. First, you will be given God's affirmation. He'll say, "Good job, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Next, you'll receive a promotion and be given greater responsibilities in eternity. This means life doesn't stop when we get to heaven. This means that while we don't have to strive to get to striding in the grace of God, that we still have things that we get to do with and for God while we're in eternity. I'm so excited that my life ain't just gonna stop because I died. So that means that I have something to look forward to. So I need to be doing the best job that I can do in this life, so that I can have the best life when I move over. It's almost like retirement spiritually. You know, we work hard for our 401k, our social security, and maybe even a vacation home somewhere if we can even afford it, or just enough to live. But what would it be to live your life here on earth, creating legacy, because you know that you're building up your 401k in heaven. You're building up that retirement plan. You're building towards the goals of, like for me, to retire in Italy and own a vineyard and just sit on the porch and look at all the green vineyard that I'll never do nothing with. What would it look like if we began to look at life like I'm building up my retirement for when I leave this earth because I want to have all the jewels and the gems and more responsibility and the big mansion and just to enjoy the fact that with every opportunity that God posed me with, I took full advantage to do the work for my Father. I took full advantage to pour into others. I took full advantage to take back dominion from the enemy and make him a liar. Oh, this is so good, y'all. Then he says, I will put you in charge of many things. Then you will be honored with a celebration. Come and share your master's happiness. Most people fail to realize that money is both a test and a trust from God. God uses finances to teach us to trust him. And for many people, money is the greatest test of all. Come on. Somebody is struggling in their finances and God is saying it's just a test. It really is just a test. And to be honest, if you look back from this point in your life and you look back at all of the other times that you've had conflict with money or you've had a need, I promise you, it may have been really rough, but you're making it today. God showed up for you in some way, shape, or form. Some way, shape, or form. I promise you, because I can look back on my life and see that. God watches how we use money to test how trustworthy we are. The Bible says if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? This is a very important truth. God says there is a direct relationship between how I use my money and the quality of my spiritual life. How I manage my money, my worldly wealth, determines how much God can trust me with spiritual blessings, true riches. Let me ask you this. Is the way that you manage your money preventing God from doing more in your life? Can you be trusted with spiritual riches? Jesus said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Life is a test and a trust. And the more God gives you, the more responsible he expects you to be. Now listen, listen, that was good. That was good. Those were two key points. We got one more key point that I might give you. I might just give you another surprise episode. We looked at life on earth is a test. We looked at life on earth is a trust. And there's one more key point that I'm promising I'm going to give you, which is life on earth is a temporary assignment. I hope that this blessed somebody. There's a point to ponder. He asks, life is a test and a trust. Just think about that. Life is truly a test and a trust. And the way that I walk through my test is how much God is going to trust me for the more. Let's remember this verse. Luke 16:10 says, unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. We want the more in our lives. We want our finances to be stable. We want to have extra money. We no longer want to rob Peter to pay Paul. But God says that we have to pay 10% of our earnings in tithes. And so that will rebuke the devil. That will protect us. I would encourage you that even if you don't have a church home, invest your tithes into someone who's doing things for the kingdom. Invest your tithes into someone who encourages your life spiritually and you see yourself doing better as a result so that they can continue to do the work of the kingdom, but that so you can be blessed and that you can stand on God's promise that he will rebuke the devil as you pay into the storehouse, that you pay into the people and the things of God so that they can keep doing the work of the kingdom that continues to bless you. See, it's the promises of God, but also the direction that we have to take to even get the promises of God. And so we have to learn how to take the direction that God gives us and then expect the promise. The problem is, We're looking for the promises of God, for him to open his hand, but we're not even following the direction. Maybe we don't believe it. Maybe it's not our thing. Maybe we just can't do it. Try something. You know, there was a time, and I always have struggled with tithes, but I'll tell you this. There was a time where I couldn't pay my full 10%. It would have just been way too much and I would have lacked somewhere. So I would pay what I could and told God that if you bless me to pay my full tithe, I promise I'll do it. I don't want to lack for anything, but I'm still going to give because I know it's not about how much I give, but it's the posture of my heart that the fact that I want to give to be obedient to your word, I want to give so that I can expect your protection over my finances. And I'm telling you guys, it changed from me getting a paycheck and not knowing where it went as if I had a hole in my purse. We see that in Haggai chapter 1 and 2, that the people would earn, but it would disappear. And God said, I did that because you're not following my instruction. And so if you've experienced that like me, where you can never keep money, that's because you're not standing in the direction that God is giving you through his word. He's given us direction for life so that we can be okay and be blessed. Not that we're never going to experience hardship, but he's given us step-by-step direction. Are we following it? Are we obeying the word of God so that we can expect the blessings of God over our lives? Or are we just doing what we want to do, but yet still expecting God? Are we looking for instant gratification without doing work? Look at Luke 16:10. Really think about that. Unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. He's not saying I'm not giving you this because of this. He's saying you just won't do good if I give you more. See, I remember God, I was asking God, I'm like, I know that I'm created for wealth, Father. Not that I want to be popular or I want to be a big shot, but I know that I am meant to have wealth to pour into your kingdom. My heart is for God and God's people. That is my heart. Anybody who truly knows me and follows me knows that I pour into God's people. I create as much as I can to do what I can to bless the people of God. And sometimes it costs me money just to do that. But it's worth it to me because I see the fruit of individuals who are blessed as a result, who are growing as a result, and then they're pouring into others. I've always done that. Even in my career where I was an instructor to medical students, I would pour into their lives more than I would teach them the curriculum. Because to me, their lives were far more important for them to be able to operate in the curriculum. That you had to love them where they were so that you could bring them forth where they needed to be successful in the very thing that you were trying to instill into them. So show God that you can be faithful over whatever it is that he's given you. Align yourself with the word of God. Align yourself with the direction that he's given you through his word. That's his will. And watch God bless you. The question I want you guys to think about is, what has happened to you recently that you now realize was a test from God? What are the greatest matters God has entrusted to you? What has happened at this point, even as a point of listening to this surprise episode, that you realize that, wow, God, you're testing me. I've been looking at this all wrong. I've been looking at this in disappointment. I've been looking at this out of frustration and discouragement, but you've just been testing me to see if I'm going to say, God, I trust you. So ask God to forgive you and say, Father, forgive me. Help me to trust you. I promise he'll do it just like that. I hope that this has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. I really do. And I'm not going to tell you, and I'm going to surprise you with the surprise episode, because there's still one more key point that we need to go over to really see about this thing called life and this thing called purpose. I encourage you, listen, Linda, listen. I encourage you to join the Unapologetically Unashamed community. I'm telling you, you get access to so many cool, fun things that help you grow in God. Don't do this by yourself. Don't walk life alone. Don't try to figure it out by yourself. Not when people are sitting here trying to help you and provide free stuff for you. Come on. I gotta beg you to get better. I gotta beg you to come get some free stuff that I know is gonna be good for you. Plus you have community. Plus we get to interact. We get to grow in relationship. Come on. It's a link. It's listening to an audio version a day. It's an assignment a day that gives you amazing scriptures and questions to really think and ponder. You don't have to go dig and find it. Then I read a chapter of the book every day and upload it for you to listen. You don't even have to read the book because I'm reading it for you. I'm your illustrator. I'm your audible.com. Join the academy, you guys. I love you. I hope that this has blessed you. Look out for the next episode of Hearing the Voice of God. I'm telling you, I dropped episode 2 and I'm excited about that next week. I pray that this bless you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye now.